Welcome to a special podcast version of The Practitioner, an online publication of the Family Firm Institute. Today, we will be joined by Holly Isdale, founder of Wealth Haven. Holly Isdale founded Wealth Haven in 2010 to provide clients with a single point of contact for the oversight of their wealth management needs. After 20 plus years on Wall Street, Holly was frustrated by the fact that wealthy families, despite hiring the best attorneys, accountants, and investment teams, still could not achieve their financial goals, primarily due to lack of coordination and execution among the experts. Holly created Wealth Haven to provide clients with a high-level strategic planning, hands-on oversight, and conflict-free advice. Holly has worked with entrepreneurs and business owners for her entire career, from initial funding to IPOs or mergers, through succession planning and even last rites. This in-depth knowledge of tax, investments, estate planning, family governance, philanthropy, and just plain common sense allows Holly to help families to identify their goals, create an actionable plan, and deliver results. A graduate of Cornell University and of Boston University School of Law, Holly began her career as a corporate tax attorney, but left the active practice of law in 1994 to build and lead the estate and financial planning practices for several top Wall Street firms, including J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, and Bessemer Trust. Holly serves on the board of the Family Firm Institute, the global organization for family business consultants. She's a member of the American Bar Association's Real Property Trust and Estate Committee, the Purposeful Planning Institute, Philadelphia's Estate Planning Council, Society of Trust and Estate Professionals, and several other organizations. Holly is a frequent speaker on issues relating to family, tax, and transition issues, as well as philanthropic considerations. Holly has been recognized as a finalist for the Family Business Advisor 2013 Award from STEP, Society of Trust and Estate Professionals. Holly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Lainey, thank you so much.
Well, I'm curious. Today we're going to be talking about cybersecurity for the family firm. And I just wonder, what has led you or inspired you to become so passionate about cybersecurity for enterprising families?
You know, I think it really started with the digital death work that I do. And I know that's an odd name, but really realizing that there are two things, true love and emails, and only one of them lasts forever. So, and it's not your true love sometimes, it's the emails. And I think, you know, I had clients who couldn't get into accounts of deceased family members or disabled family members because of privacy contracts. And it really illustrated for me the dilemma between keeping the bad guys out and letting the good guys in. So I've been doing a lot of work on access to digital assets and digital asset management in the fiduciary context. So what happens to your tweets when you die? How do I make sure that, because everything that we have is now online through our handhelds, you know, 91% of Americans use smartphones almost exclusively or have smartphones. The millennials use them almost exclusively for accessing. It's now possible to create online accounts without getting any documentation, so I can have online bank accounts without, it's just so much of our life has gone online. Mm-hmm. And there's this real dichotomy between the privacy laws that have started in 1986, for the most part, there really was a lot of these laws that are pushed back, and the need for fiduciary. So It's a long-winded way of saying, you know, as I started to get into it, you naturally get called into the cybersecurity side. And that's where I realized just how much of our information is at risk. And I think, you know, as a banker, we always had tons of firewalls. We spent a ton of money on security and cybersecurity and risk and backups. As a consultant, I do as much as I can, but I'm amazed to see the types of information that's flowing among family businesses and family members to their consultants and so forth without any thought of the fact that this is highly, highly confidential information. I received recently from a client a full family tree. So what's your mother's maiden name? Well, I know that. All of their social security numbers were attached to this document. It was not password protected. All of the financials for the company, their, you know, emails were telling me where their main bank accounts were, who their lawyers were, all this financial information came unsecured. Had that come to me at the banks, first of all, it would have been on a secure server, hopefully. And it's just, it just really hits home to me how much risk we have with the information that we freely hand out to people.
So It's almost scary when you frame it that way, Holly. And I'm wondering, are you seeing a difference in generation as to how free that information is, or do you just see it across the board?
I think there's a recognition at the younger generations how much information is out there. I think in some ways the younger generations are starting to realize that privacy, they've given up too much in their privacy. I think the older generations, and I'm broad generalizations here, so let's not call it so much generational as IT savvy. But I think people don't understand what can happen and how much of what we might think is a James Bond spy thriller type technology is actually real. So I flew in yesterday through the Atlanta airport. So I had about an hour wait in the Atlanta airport, and I'm looking. Every single person is on a smartphone, a tablet, a laptop, and most of them, you know, the first thing is to join the Atlanta Wi-Fi piece when I'm on the airplane. Everyone's on go-go in flight. That is just ripe for hacking. The next is there's software that would let me capture every screen, every keystroke that you make. I can hack into your camera on your computer and almost take pictures of things and see you and see your backgrounds. I mean, I think it's just people don't understand how much of what we think is science fiction is really real today. And at the second thing, they say, well, so somebody gets, you know, my information, what happens? And what's really happening in cybersecurity is the rise of cyber terrorism. And the information, your information, is the most valuable commodity now in the world. And it is traded on dark markets, and it is aggregated and built upon so that your profile gets built up and then targeted. And if you think about our clients, they're ripe for this type of targeting.
What are some steps that you recommend that we as advisors take with families to help them secure their data, to really protect them?
I think there's some simple things you can do that are really easy. I think, first of all, two-factor authorization. Whenever you can, put in the password and then have it text your phone with a login, and you see that on a lot of bank accounts, but a lot of people don't opt into that. Many people don't opt into that for normal information when they can. And change your passwords. Passwords should be 10 or so letters. Passwords should be a mix of numbers. I have binders of passwords. But, you know, the more complicated you can make them, the better. And don't use the password managers like the LastPass and things like that, because they get hacked. The second is to cover the camera on your devices. That's a very easy thing people don't do that you can do. Just put a sticky over it on all of your devices. If you travel, get a privacy screen. They're like $4 online for your laptop. Having been in investment banking for years, I actually get a kick out of sitting on the Amtrak between Philly and New York, or New York and DC, or New York and Boston, and just looking at the laptops of the bankers and who they're pitching, because I can see it from sitting, you know, and walking up and down the aisles. Oh, you're going to go see Pfizer, or you're off to do a deal. And then I really think that you have to practice content control. And that for many families is frustrating. But by content control, I mean you have to assume that every email, every text, everything you do digitally is going to be content searchable in the near future, if it's not already. And that means that you need to be very cognizant of what you're putting out there. You have to expect that everything you write or say could be produced in a court of law. I would not use common email servers. I see so many people coming across on Gmail, and Gmail can get hacked very easily. Yahoo can get hacked. I really encourage everybody to set up their own domain and try and protect their email that way. And then I look at digital storage, and I back up multiple different locations. I think families have to expect that they will be hacked. The rise right now is ransomware. So somebody hacks into your computer and holds you hostage till you pay them $2,000, $10,000, $50,000 to get your data back. If you've been good about backing up, you can basically, you know, trash your computer or wipe it and start over and rebuild your data. And that extends to online accounts. So you should back up your Facebook page. You should back up your iTunes accounts and all those things in multiple places. The cost of external storage is so cheap. Uh-huh. I just bought a bunch of 1 terabyte hard drives that they're the size of my iPhone, and I just rotate through backing those up every couple of days. We just back up main categories. And this is in addition to an 8 terabyte storage unit here, multiple cloud backups. But I just feel it's so important to have duplicates of those. And then I have spyware on all of my devices. I'm an Apple-based system. My office is entirely run on Apples. Apples historically have been pretty much immune
from a lot of the spyware, but that's not working now. So I have software installed on all of our devices to track and prevent. We don't hook up to the internet as often as we used to, I should say. And any client information we send out is either posted to a secure Dropbox or vault that we use. We don't use Dropbox for client information, or password protected. And those are simple, but you know, the whole cost of that might be $100 a year for a family. But you think about the cost of it is tremendous. And then depending on the family, I'll often do an internet policy or a social media policy just to get them attuned to how they behave online. Because I think we all jumped into it thinking it was really fun and not thinking about the dark side of posting off to Cabo for the weekend on my Facebook page and letting everybody know that my house is now empty if you want to come by.
Oh, gosh. Oh, so those are some great simple steps that we can take. I'm wondering, when in the client process are you bringing this up, Holly, to your clients? What do you recommend that we do to sort of start these conversations?
I recommend that everybody have a privacy policy and a cybersecurity policy for their firm. I'm happy to share my copies with anyone that's interested, but I think, and I can post them certainly on the website, I think those are a great way to, in handing them over, call attention to them and just say, look, I take this seriously for you. And I understand that I'm going to be coming into contact with a lot of information. And that's a great way to bring it up, to say, what do you have? What systems do you use to transmit data or protection? And what works best? And I think getting a good understanding of where the issues are, you know, relying on corporate servers for family-owned business could expose those servers to hacks, could expose your personal information to hacks on a corporate server. But also there's a data privacy issue of, if my private information is there with the company and the company gets a request to produce all emails, my information could get produced and I'm relying on a third party now to redact it. So just, again, it goes to that idea of content control. Always thinking, where am I posting information? Who has my information? What information do I have? So I start out by just giving clients my own disclaimers and cybersecurity policies as a way to ask about theirs.
Oh, great point. Well, as things are changing and evolving and becoming more sophisticated, what are you seeing in the future of this important topic? What are you looking towards, or what trends are you seeing?
I'm seeing a recognition that we are spending trillions of dollars on this globally and that it's not going to stop. So I think I'm seeing people become more aware of it. I'm really scared by the fact that most advisors, law firms, accounting firms, their IT departments are still very focused on a server. So their IT departments are still very focused on protecting information that sits on their server. And they're not necessarily thinking about the fact that their advisors and their staff are using the laptops in the airports, the Wi-Fi in the airports, the handheld devices. And so I think what I see is a real trend towards hacking in those advisors because they're weak points of entry. And I think families just are not attuned to the fact that they're advisors. We all sort of rely on each other. It's a little bit of a herd immunity type of idea. You know, well, if I don't need to do it because all of my advisors spend tons of money on this. But the advisors are often lagging because of the way their IT departments are set up. So I think that's what I look at most. And I think we're going to see just people getting more and more attuned to traveling. One of the things I didn't put on my list is a VPN. So I have my virtual personal network. It's a little Verizon box that I carry. And I use that exclusively when I travel. If I'm in a hotel, that's the Wi-Fi system I'm on. If I'm in an airport, that's the Wi-Fi system I'm on. It's about half the size of a deck of cards. It has a pretty decent battery life. It's not infallible, but at least I'm not on a public Wi-Fi system. So I think we're going to see more and more people really starting to realize just how much they've given up in their privacy and how much of their data is out there in the world.
Now, Holly, if I remember right, you're going to be sharing with us more about this in Miami at the annual conference this year. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. We're going to be presenting with a colleague of mine, Brad Deflin. Brad runs a fabulous firm called Total Digital Security and works a lot with families and family businesses. And we're sharing a case study of a client who was administering her father's estate. Her Gmail account was hacked. Despite numerous emails and calls to her attorneys and advisors to not use the Gmail account, they kept defaulting and sending confidential information. She had people showing up at her house masquerading as workmen. She had people, you know, the locations of things. So here's a woman who's very wealthy, dealing with the loss of a parent, and ended up having to move. She's had her identity stolen a number of times. Mm-hmm. She's lost bank accounts. She is constantly paranoid now, almost of the threats. She's just hyper aware of the risk to her person. And, you know, how did they get it? It's not like some cartel targeted her, but the information gets out there. You can buy this ransomware or rent this software, and you get almost a 1,500% return on just hacking by renting the software on the dark web and using it to hack accounts. So somebody clearly bought her information, and she became low-hanging fruit for a number of criminals.
Well,
so it's a fascinating case study. I'm really excited to bring this to FFI. And I'm excited, too, because I think most of the advisors are just not thinking in this space.
I agree. I think you've made us think totally differently today about how to protect our family businesses and our clients. Thank you, Holly, so much for sharing your experience with us today.
Thank you, Lainey.
For more information regarding Holly and her work at Wealth Haven, please visit her website at www.wealthhaven.com. Thank you for joining us for this special podcast version of The Practitioner, an online publication of the Family Firm Institute.